Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Bring back at the Attorney General, Dr. Dominic Ayine. He believes that there are some inaccuracies in his address the other time about the 60% threshold and the Unibank case. Details page 3 of the Daily Guide newspaper. 16 perish in Gori crash. That's also a sad one on the front page of the Daily Guide newspaper. Then the bigger story is about the NPP flag bearership raise. Aspirants to pay 600,000 Ghana cedis, and that's for I believe the start.
Yes. When you pick the forms, you pay 100,000, and then when you file, you would pay 500,000. But that's not all. There's actually a development fee that will be determined later. So it's
so you better prepare if you want to go in now. But I mean, all these faces I see here, I think they have the cash for it. Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia is here. Kennedy Ejepon is here. Dr. Yao Se Duchum is also here. Brian Achampo, no size.
So if the problem would have been
but the engineer is also there.
Yes. Engineer Ejepon. He's also here. But you know, they want to meet cash alone. Sort all these things out.
It's not easy. Anyway, I am speaking from my perspective. If I was supposed to pay 500,000 cedis.
Yesterday, my mother called me. I was like, Kwaju, £3 and for the quarter form. So basically, somebody's capital. At this point.
You know, Brian Achampo was asked that you, when he was bailing to me that. So you have that much money and you are a rich man. He says it depends on who you call rich or what you term richness or riches.
Oh yeah, of course. Hey, the CEO of Rock City, the biggest hotel in West Africa. Hey, that guy, take time over.
Anyway, but great guys here. Dr. Bawumia says he's rich in ideas, so don't worry. I mean, people will support him. So it's going to be an interesting context. We have 5 names already. We don't know if there are more that will add, because the latest to that camp is Kwabena Ejepon, who was here yesterday himself. He passed by the office.
I don't see Adanimo.
Some of the other papers have.
I'm sure Adanimo will come up.
President Adanimo.
There's Wachejako as well in the other.
Yes,
Wachejako
too.
But I mean, all these guys come.
Even though there are people who feel that Wachejako would be a very good national chairman of the NPP.
General secretary.
National chairman of the NPP. So he becomes the leader of the NPP as national chairman.
Wachejako went to meet chairman and executives and he said, Papa Jai, President, the farmer. We want you to be chairman.
Chairman.
Let me give you the daily graphic. Study leave abuses face sack. Accountant General bears teeth. There's a photo of Kwesi Ejie, the controller, an accountant general. He addressed the media at a press event yesterday. ADB records 230 million Ghana cedis profits in 6 months. Data in media budget review misleading. This according to the minority. You know, the government has the reforestation project, right? There's a reforestation project about to begin at UGMC. They are going to roll out hair transplants this year so that people like Winston and I, who don't have hair, we can go and get hair transplants and barbers will get jobs. So UGMC officially is starting that this year. It's on the front page of the Daily Graphic.
Okay, that's a great one there. The Ghanaian publisher is still talking about this NPP 2028 race. I think the focus now is also on the chairperson of the voting committee. That will be Adokufo. So it's now official, and of course the publisher is talking about that. Then the minority side is also raising concerns about the media budget review. It says minority blast finance minister over budget claims. Details of that on page 2 of the Ghanaian publisher. Court fines Bakavomawo 3,000 Ghana cedis in the Kandapa case. So I thought that case was over, but it appears that he still has a long way to go. So let's wait to see just what the court would say about the entire case. But for now, he's been fined some 3,000 Ghana cedis for a number of issues which we'll get into shortly.
Now, the new center, economic gains, minority accuses Dr. Atuforsen of credit thefts. Mm. NACOC hands over $1.7 million worth of seized gold to Gold Board. Mm. Vomawo stories on the front page of the new center as well. Mm. And over 2,000 rounds, 20 guns seized at Garnet's airport.
Yeah.
2,000 rounds, 20 guns seized at Ghana's airport. And the story of Leshego's 200 million Ghana city investment in a solar project with the Catholic Church is also on the front page. It is to power 4,000 Catholic schools, hospitals, and churches.
Okay, the Accra Times has an interesting story on the 24-hour economy program. It appears the Chinese are exploring opportunities in our 24-hour economy. You might want to read that for yourself as we also bring it to you. You have the details on the Accra Times today. Then the Attorney General has been giving further and better particulars about the Unibank case. Kicking against all the criticism and indicating why he had to do the 60% threshold. The road to growth, Ghana's economy shows signs of recovery. That's according to the finance minister, Dr. Kasiola Tofosin. But the minority also has a different view, as it is also captured here on the Accra Times. NPP disagrees with mid-year budget review, highlights economic challenges that the country is facing. Then the National Petroleum Authority is also warning against some dangerous practices in the sector, captured here on the front page of the Accra Times. And SNIT deepens digital drive to boost employer compliance and also pension sustainability. So all of these stories are within the Accra Times for today.
And finally, the new publisher, Mid-Year Budget Deceitful, Minority Exposes Half-Truths and Lies. Akufo-Addo's men would be arrested in Akutia. Guess who is speaking? Mustapha Gbande of the NDC. And Damit Des Ayine over Beige Bank 10 million Ghana Cedi claim.
Okay, so let's get into the online news review now.
Major Online, all necessary force will be used. This is the Ghana Armed Forces declaring peace enforcement in Boko. List of 907 small-scale mining licenses facing revocation by Lands Ministry. We've published that on Major Online. You may want to check that out. No life can wait. Professor Titus Bayo defends urgent passage of Ghana Medical Trust Fund Bill. And Forestry Commission condemns illegal shutdown of three district offices in the Ashanti region. The Health Ministry has processed salaries for pharmacists and is promising to pay interns. And Black Queens have visited the Jubilee House after the WAFCON bronze. That's there. Joy FM also kicks off Sustainability Month on August 4th to tackle daily living challenges. It's also on My Joy Online. And latest Fitch upgrade reflected NPP legacy, not the NDC government's doing. This is the minority speaking. The National Security must end interference in Forestry Commission's work. This is the Anti-Galamsey Coalition cautioning the national security. And Kennedy Appon has officially declared his intent to contest in the NPP primaries. Those are stories from My Joy Online.
Yes, and talking about Boko, mm-hmm. the Ghana Education Service says it's begun consultations with key stakeholders on the roadmap for WASI in Boko and Nalarugu following renewed conflict in the area. Here's the public head of public relations at the Ghana Education Service, Daniel Penny.
Practicals can be written as and when. And so even though the practical will be starting on Monday for the students under these conditions, DS can be shifted around. You can trust that by the close of this week, we would have done all the consultations and come out with all the workable plans. Some of the very detailed plans may not be released to the public because of human life and safety issues at stake.
Isn't that sad? That today, students getting ready for their West African Senior School Certificate Examination, we don't even know where they would write these papers. Their only crime is that they find themselves in areas that have currently been taken over by violence.
Yeah.
And this is violence that we can deal with. Look, if we're serious about, dealing with the Boko situation, we can. I say this all the time. We know the people who are behind it. We know. But we always pretend that we don't know. We know. beyond chieftaincy, it's a political problem. We know. But we'll pretend. So, yes, GES, even though I felt they should have finished this consultation by now, but like our people say, it's better late than ever. So they should come up with solutions to the problem so that these children can write their exam in peace and then get home. Anyway, let's get into other stories.
Now, I'll take you to City Newsroom. Ghana's public debt drops by 139 billion Ghana cedis in first half of 2025. This is according to the minister. Forest violations. BOG orders weekly remittance disclosures from financial institutions. And Kwabena Ajapon says the NPP flag bearer race will be tough, but he has support. Now, an interesting story. British National Archives presents authentic copy of Bond of 1844 to Parliament, and banks are anticipating a 2% policy rate cut as BOG concludes MPC meeting. So I'll take you to the small scale miners list. If I say Galamsey, that would be unfair, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the list of the 907 small scale mining licenses facing revocation has been published on MyJoy Online. You may want to check it out. So this list has the names of the companies, the location, the district, and the date of grant. So check it out. If your hometown is in it, if your area is in it, you can help police these areas, right? If the ministry says that they have revoked the licenses and you go and you see these companies mining, it means they are doing something illegal. So let's help police the system together. So that story is there on my Joy Online. Now, Winston.
Yeah, let's get into the papers.
Yes. Can I give you the UGMC story?
Yeah, and just before you bring just to chip in that all the deputy ministers, the nominees have now finally been approved. So which will mean that James Chachikwesing will now be deputy foreign affairs minister. Dorcas will now be heading to the transport ministry as deputy. Then Mr. Coding Subaru will be.
You call the man Mr. Coding. Oh, Mr. Sugan.
No.
And then Dr.
Oh, no, we are champion.
Dr. Grace Ayensu Dankwa. Yes.
Professor
Ayensu. Dr. Grace Ayensu Dankwa goes to.
You prefer to use doctor?
Yes.
I prefer to use professor.
I think she's a doctor.
Maybe could you use associate professor?
No, an adjunct assistant professor. You don't use that title. It means that you went to lecture part-time.
You know. Yeah, but there's a jurisdictional problem there. But anyway,
beyond the jurisdictional problem, the truth is that if you're an adjunct person, beyond your this, you don't use the title.
So you can be called professor in person, but you cannot use the title in writing.
I saw a post on X saying the woman says she's a professor. She didn't qualify her statement. So whatever be the case.
But you see, sometimes we know, for instance, that in certain jurisdictions, while you talk about jurisdictional problem, in certain jurisdictions, once you are a lecturer, you're termed professor. If you come to Ghana, where the title professor is actually used for, research in an area, and it's normally because of your publications, you don't say you are a professor.
But she says this is a U.S. university.
Yeah, but I'm saying that in the U.S., for instance, Obama, when he was teaching at the university, he was called a professor.
Right.
But he didn't get to the rank of a professor.
So he officially was Mr. Barack Obama.
Exactly. If you start lecturing in another jurisdiction, you're called doctor or mister. Even they won't even call you doctor, they'll call you by your name, and then they probably would add your PhD to it. When you're done, and this is the other point, you see, if you say, for instance, that you are professor doctor, it means that you actually have been given professorship in an area and you have a PhD in another area. So let's do it this way. Let's say, okay, I'm a journalist and I have a PhD in communications.
And then you go to do your accounting and those related stuff.
Now, if I get professorship in communication studies, I can still be professor doctor because I have another PhD where I've not been made a professor. So you remember the professor doctor Bo of KNUSD? Yeah. He became vice chancellor at Valley View University. But this is the point. You can also be professor doctor when you have an MPhil. And in your MPhil, you've actually written a lot of publications and thus qualified to become a professor.
And again, of course, the debate will go on.
I ask, in the case of Grace Ayen Sudankwa, MD, MPH, so even if you were to be called a professor, it would be because you have a doctor of medicine, so it's just professor. I don't need to add doc again.
Anyway. You know, when she was asked the question, she made it open that if you're comfortable with using doctor, just go ahead and use the doctor for me. If you want to use the professor, just go ahead and use that.
She's a doctor.
So we wait to see.
We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry
about further clarifications on that.
Let's stay in Parliament. The minority is talking about the economy, and the minority in Parliament has issued a response to the media budget presented by Finance Minister Dr. KCL Atuforsen.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Accusing the government of distorting facts, engaging in propaganda economics, and taking undue credit for economic gains initiated under the previous NPP administration. In a press statement released on Tuesday, July 29, the minority challenged multiple claims made by the minister, ranging from public debt reduction and currency performance to foreign reserves and credit rating improvements. So that's on the economy.
There's also the talk about the Attorney General, Dr. Dominic Ayine, who then justified the Unibank case, the 60% threshold. It appears that he's facing a bit more criticism, this time around from the former AG, Godfrey Aboadami. He's making the argument that going by the arrangement of the current Attorney General, it appears that the state will no longer have the opportunity to rake in some 7 billion cedis. He believes that instead, the country will be having 2 billion, which was allegedly struck according to the arrangements by the Attorney General. And Godfrey Aboadama goes on to talk about some of the arrangements which he was criticized for by his successor.
Now, let me take you to UGMC. And this story is of interest to me because for years, the UGMC, even though it was almost completed, was not being operationalized. Now it's been operationalized, and they are making a lot of waves with new procedures. Now the latest one is that the University of Ghana Medical Center will start performing hair transplants as a form of plastic surgery for bald persons by the end of this year. And the World Health Organization defines hair transplant as a surgical procedure where hair is moved from one part of the body to a bald thinning or recipient area. Now, the Director of Medical Affairs at the UGMC, Dr. Bafu Jan, said the center was in the final stage of escalating the innovation to the public after successfully piloting it. And in an interview with the Daily Graphic last Friday, he said the venture formed part of the vision to make the facility a world-class center for all medical solutions. He also listed procedures that they've done over the past months and years that are largely firsts in the country. And he says that they are working hard to be a quaternary facility, which is the most specialized and advanced of medical care right here in the country.
Okay, I don't know if I could briefly talk about the cash involved in the presidential race primaries of the NPP.
Yes.
Out of the total of 100,000 Ghana cedis, the publisher is reporting, that will be a non-refundable nomination fee. And then you have the remaining 500,000 representing the filing fee. So when you do that, the math, it appears that some 500,000 cedis would not be returned, regardless of the outcome. Now, both payments are to be made via a banker's draft, and the party continues to indicate that it's in line with Article 13, 1 and 2 of the NPP constitution, which governs the selection of a flag bearer. Now, there are more guidelines on the primaries, but what is also instructive is that we have Adokufo, who will now be chairing that committee.
Okay, let's ask Joe Fosu, Daddy Lumba. But which one is this? Back for good, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, back for good. Well, we've been joined by CEO of Dalex Finance, Joe Jackson. Good morning, Joe. It's been a while.
Good morning. It's been quite a while, but it's a real pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you join us this morning.
Yes.
And since you are in black, it's not because maybe you're not, not because you're mourning, but let me just take your memories of Daddy Lumba before we continue into discussing about the Ghanaian economy.
Oh, listen. Daddy Lumba gave us countless moments of joy, pure joy. And listen, the first time I watched Daddy Lumba, I watched him, he was with Nana Champong.
Yeah.
He was with Nana Champong at the rooftop of a place in Adabraka. I can't even remember. It was many, so many years ago.
Oh, okay.
They were two young men, and I thought they were fantastic. There's still some memories that I can't forget. Like the first time I heard Abenwa. Remember where I was. Don't ask me where I was.
Where were you? Not that you brought it up. Where were you?
Don't ask me where I was. But I remember it was in those days, it was actually a nightclub.
Mm.
And I'm in a nightclub, and this song booms out of the speakers. It was actually in Kumasi.
Mm.
And I was like, whoa. Of course, we knew Daddy Lumba, and this was so, and stuff like that. So I think that in another country, we would be having, in the US, for example, they have people who study Sparrow.
Mm-hmm.
Sparrow the musician.
Yeah.
Because his lyrics are deep. In another setting, we'll be studying Daddy Lumba because of how deep his lyrics are. But given who we are as Ghanaians, we'll all cry and mourn, and then we'll move on.
But I like the fact that, you know, in another jurisdiction, probably will be studying his lyrics. I think that's something we can do, particularly those who are studying linguistics. You know, they can actually, and these days, the good thing is that, you know, these days that, you know, I know a lady, a PhD holder, who wrote her whole thesis in Chi.
Yeah.
So these days it's doable.
It is doable.
You can actually do that.
And if you think that he could think about things that the more you delve into, his lyrics have different layers, and the more you delve into it, you say this guy is a genius in saying some of the things that he said without sounding profane.
Mm-hmm. Well, may his soul rest in peace, which means we can get back to the Ghanaian economy. And yesterday, the minority in parliament, they've been talking about it. I'm sure we can listen to you know, some of the things that the minority said in parliament yesterday. You know, they actually say that while the city may have appreciated, people can't get the city when they go to the banks, the formal institutions. Let's just listen to what the minority said.
The minister claimed that there has been a reverse of the city depreciation to the 2022 level. And here he mentions the fact that they inherited a city to dollar rate of 17 cedis to $1, and they have brought it down to 10.4 cedis to the dollar. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a plain lie. There has never been any record by the Bank of Ghana during the last 8 years of the previous MPP government whereby a dollar was sold at the interbank market for 17 cedis.
The question we ask the minister is, how much of Ghana's public debt has the government repaid since they assumed office? How much? Zero. They haven't repaid any of Ghana's debts. And so, if the debt to GDP ratio has reduced, how is the minister able to claim that they have done magic?
Accept that.
Okay, so that's Joe Jackson. Hey, that's the minority.
Yeah.
You know, talking about the finance minister, Ghana not paying our debts, and so where is the finance minister getting all these achievements from? Joe, let me just get your, you know, initial thoughts about what they said before we get into the details.
You see, in a lot of ways, when I hear the NDC speak, two things come to mind. One is that you can't have your cake, you can't eat your cake and have it.
That's the NPP.
No, the NDC.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. It's, you can't say, you can't be talking about forex rate on one hand and turning around and comparing it and saying that I never got to 15, 17. Mm. Because you see, those are forex rates. So let's stop comparing apples and oranges. If you're going to compare the Bank of Ghana rates, let's stick to that. If you're going to look at the forex rates, it's possible to compare the forex rates when NPP was leaving power, mm-hmm. to forex rates when NDC was when NPP is in power today. Sorry, so it's NPP we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing that comes to mind also is this, that to the latter part of the NPP's period in power, where Honorable Aminu was minister, some good was done.
Okay.
And there's a Ghanaian proverb that I like, you see. Konfu bon awats na yarefo ma konfu pa abotun muyinimu. Essentially, Ghana's economy can be likened to a sick patient who suffered a stroke, right? And 2022, 2023, 2024, we were in the throes of a lot of pain. It was an intense problem there. And getting to the end of the 2024, things were getting better.
Mm.
But at the same time, we've moved from intensive care in 6 months to physiotherapy. Yes, we are still in the ward. Yes, we need daily monitoring. Yes, there are going to be possible setbacks. But let's credit one, those who did the initial care, but even more credit should go to the new regime of doctors, where we changed our doctors.
Hmm.
And with the change in doctors, we also changed the medication. And the doctors applied a far more rigorous regimen to the medication. And we saw a significant jump. Say what you like. Yeah. Compare Bank of Ghana rates. We've still come down from 13, 14 to 10.5. Yeah. Take forex rates. You will still see a reduction.
Yeah.
So it's neither here nor there.
Hmm.
And, well, the role of the opposition is not to cheer. To be
or to make them feel good,
cheerleaders for the party in power. So some of it, really, if you, I listen to it, I hear it, I discount it, and I move on.
Mm. Okay, let's bring in Franklin Kujo. I'll get back to you shortly. Joe Jackson, who is CEO of Dalex Finance. Franklin Kujo has joined us. He's founder and president of Imani Africa. Franklin, good morning, and thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Winston. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Now, Joe Jackson talks about the fact that, okay, the economy was in intensive care, is now at the physiotherapy state. Some would say, then the doctors who took care of the economy while in intensive care would deserve some credit, isn't it?
Without.
The
economy was in good morning.
Good morning, Franklin. Good to hear from you.
Right, great. Well, without a doubt, there is some good that was done by the previous administration. No doubt about that. And of course, we also have to realize that we actually should actually cause the need. And so, if you are attempting to do to correct what you did, well, maybe some level of praise, but don't shout. Don't go to the roof because then you should not really
Franklin, I think I hear some some feedback. I don't know if there's a radio close to you that you can turn it off or move away from it.
Let me just do that.
Okay.
Okay. It looks better now.
Yes, I think it's better now.
All right. Okay. So, as I was saying, I do not have a problem at all with anyone claiming credit, but we also need to look at the magnitude of the problem we have faced. Having said that, it is also important that the current crop of leaders, in this case, the finance minister or this government, must also somehow recognize the fact that you are still in the should I call it the honeymoon mood. It is important that they start putting their feet on the ground and sustain some of these gains that have been made. Because frankly, to have a 42% more or less performance in terms of the CD, the year-to-date performance, it's good, right? I mean, Joel tells you clearly that some of these is also due to external issues and all of that, but clearly speaking, some level of discipline has been instilled. You know, when Apple responded to a question by Evans on PMS Quest that Dr. Balmi was basically asking the NDC one important policy that they introduced, which has been responsible for the gains made so far. Of course, it's the same conversation, right? But the NPP believes that a lot of what is being experienced now is due to their work. No problem. I think that the answer Apple gave was actually the definitive answer which should guide the NDC going forward. He said, look, if there's nothing at all with them, we've been disciplined financially. We've not been reckless. We've not borrowed recklessly. And the evidence is there, isn't it? I mean, the Treasury bill, I mean, they go for it, but sorry, what's it called? The domestic mobilization of...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The treasury bills, yes.
The treasury bills, sure. We all know what has happened there. The interest rates are falling. They don't take everything. Unlike our cousins who will take everything and then celebrate and say they are doing well. You know, so it's important to make this point that, yes, fiscal discipline is important. People said he's not spending. I don't understand. The first 6 months, you want the guy to start spending, like he himself says, Apple characteristically says that you can't be drinking champagne and have a special budget. You don't do that. So if 6 months now, he's spent and he's given a litany of places to spend, yes, you could argue that a few of the capital goods may not have any sense of spending. But it is even wiser on Apple's behalf to work with the entities that draw a lot of the capital goods, like the roads infrastructure, for instance, that the gross minister and a team of evaluators are going around the country to first of all vet all these fictitious claims of roads that have been constructed everywhere, and then determine whether the price, the contract amount, were even right in the first place. But don't forget, the last administration was not giving out contracts to people when there was no money. We all know that. I've seen many files, and I'm overwhelmed. It was just like a party thrown to party faithfuls. Come and collect something, go and do something, stop. And then wasted everybody's time. Look at this, Ofanko. I'm amazed that even my good brother, as I said, watching, even have the temerity to come and tell us that, oh yeah, money was received, but the minister is wrong because the money was used for other things. But that's exactly what the minister is saying. You took money for a particular group. You didn't do that. You used for other purposes. So nobody is saying that.
Yeah, but frankly, he explains that the money was for that and others. And so part of it, when the money was received, It went into the others, including that also.
Let us even interrogate that further. It doesn't even make economic sense. You have a major road like Accra to Kumasi. For how many years now? For how long now? This road should be the primary road, if you like, right? Then you receive close to 700 million from Exim Bank, Afro Exim Bank. And then you come and do your own permutation and say, oh, other roads also. I'm not saying other roads should not be constructed. A sensible economic analysis will tell you that you derive more value on the major plank than other road that you are doing because of elections. I mean, let's face it, we construct roads to nowhere sometimes. That's why this conversation about railways is also very interesting. You need to construct economic routes, focus there before you come to peripheral roads. So, anyway, the point I'm making essentially is that we can interrogate the budget, and indeed we do have issues as well. I mean, we have seen, for instance, that there's a deficit in terms of the target needs in terms of port revenues, about 1.6 billion cities thereabout. That is a significant matter that we need to look into.
But Franklin, is that not to be expected? Because if your currency appreciates and your import duties are actually calculated with the rate of the city to the dollar, if your currency appreciates, it's to be expected that you not get the values that you want.
Well, that's partly an explanation. But you and I also know we've done organized serious and organized crime work at the port, and we know what exactly happens. In fact, you'd be amazed to know that this figure, close to 60% of this figure, is due, probably most trifle, is due to underhand dealings, non-declarations. But I've just seen a file of non-declaration for a particular oil company, and an OMC, for almost, I forgot the figure, but close to 1 billion, about 9 and something million Ghana cedis, right, for an extended period of time. We can't be doing these things to ourselves in a way. But having said that, let's put that aside. I'm just saying that it is important that we need to ask questions. And that, I'm not saying that the position is wrong, but I think they should also be a bit more circumspect when they keep shouting, because frankly speaking, they are responsible for the mess in which we are right now. And I think that they should speak, but they must also be mindful of the things that are being done. I mean, if I have those things, I will never spend on any road further unless I get values vetted and agreed with everybody. That's a good way to go. So I think at the risk of sounding that we are overly praising the current government or ATO, I think it's important to state the point that look, there is indeed some fresh air in the current scheme of things.
Let me bring in Joe Jackson. And Joe Jackson, let's look at the discipline that you talk about, the importance of being disciplined.
Listen. Let nobody underestimate the discipline that the managers of this economy, led by the Honorable Minister of Finance, Dr. Atto Forson, have shown in the last 6 months. It takes a lot of discipline to say, I'm going to bring down the rate at which I borrow on this market, because I can't continue to borrow at rates of 28%, especially on T-bills, when that's the only way I'm financing myself until I get out of this challenge. To go to the market and say, I'm going to this market, and as I go, today I want to pay 15% for X number of days of credit. And if it is undersubscribed, I'll take only up to that 15%. If it is oversubscribed, before I went, I said I'm looking for 2.5 billion. Mm. I take that 2.5 billion and not a CD more, not a CD less. I fix how much I want to pay, a rate I want to pay, and I don't go not one basis point above. That takes discipline. That takes tremendous discipline, and we have to give them credit for that, because in that sense, they've done two things. They've brought down the cost of financing T-bills and domestic debt, and saved what the estimates are in excess of 4 billion. Think about it. How much did E-Levy bring us?
Tell me.
2.5 billion a year? Mm-hmm. So if somebody says, I've saved 4 billion, you start to put it in perspective. So let's not, do you know, and let's give them credit for staying the course and saying, I won't pay those arrears until I do some verification. There must be tremendous pressure from business people. After all, who financed the election? It's the same business people who financed the election. A lot of them are standing in the corridor saying, listen, you owe me this. Some of them have been owed for years, coming from the previous administration. They've still withstood that pressure, and we should give them credit.
But if it's about credit, and I'm just interested in this, because the IMF findings are pointing out that, and that's their word, we've not officially heard from the government, but they are saying that the government of Ghana is acknowledging the pre-existing work that the erstwhile NPP administration had done. They had laid the foundation. Mm-hmm. Should they not be taking some credit for that as well?
Oh, but I said Konfubonia. What's not yarefu? I'm a Konfupa. I better know. We need more. What? The other flip side is also this. Mm-hmm. But who brought us into this debacle? You know, at a certain level, as much as, and that's why I was very specific in referring to Honorable Aminu's term.
Yeah.
Because the previous management under Honorable Ken Oforiatta led us to this place of intense pain. Mm. So, at a certain level, let's be, you can't be the doctor who misprescribed my medicines and caused me pain because I took the wrong medicines in the hope of fixing my ailment, and then say that, mm-hmm. oh, but I kind of kept you when after you fell sick from the wrong prescription, I kind of held you okay till. We understand that somebody else, a new doctor, came in and held the fort till my medications were changed. There was a lot more discipline applied to the medications I took, and I've gone from a stroke to getting physiotherapy.
With founder and president of Imani Africa, Joe Jackson, the CEO of Dalex Finance. Joe, before the break, I was talking about, now that you know the verification is over, payments will be made. How is this likely to impact the Ghanaian economy going forward?
Listen, anytime payments are made, what you're paying for will influence the impact it has. If you're paying for pure arrears, that money is going to have an inflationary effect. If you're paying for money that is going to go back to continue work being done, for example, it has a different effect. So Franklin talked about the of Angkor Road. If you're paying the contractor and he's going to use the money to continue the work, that has a very different effect from if you're paying the contractor was delivered, gone through it, and the money is just going straight to
settle. Yeah.
So, I would like to differentiate between the arrears that are for ongoing work that must be continued, that we will see an immediate productive effect, from arrears that are, they're also important arrears, but they are in a slightly different category.
Okay.
And the important thing is this. Those arrears, at least at the last reckoning at the beginning of the year, were up to 64 billion. It will be important to see how much of that has been verified and is ready to be paid. If you pump 64 billion into this economy, you're going to get a huge inflationary effect. Some of us have advocated that for those whose arrears are not going to go into immediate roll over into the contracts, let's negotiate some sort of long-term payment. Give them bonds that they can trade on the secondary market, so that we can have we don't have to have that money just go straight in and cause such a disruptive effect.
Okay, if I get you, you're saying that for those projects where maybe the people, the contractors, may not be going back to site, government owes them. When government pays them, because they are not going to be pumping it into the continuation of the project.
Exactly.
Those projects are likely, those payments may lead to inflationary pressures.
Yes.
And thus, government should find a creative way of going about it through the payment with bonds.
Yes. The contractors are not going to be happy. But you see, let's be real here. We just a scant 7 months ago, we were in the throes of an economic crisis. Foreigners who gave us money have taken a haircut. Domestic people who gave us money are taking a haircut. We are asking independent power producers to take a haircut. Citizens have taken a haircut. Just maybe the contractors should also accept a creative way that won't please them, but will get us going along the line.
But you agree it's a place we don't want to be back to.
Why is it? Why don't we want to go back there? Is the pain over?
Yeah, but
our debts at a level at which we can pay comfortably.
When it comes to the contractors, my government's plan and a schedule to pay 13 billion Ghana cedis this year.
That's okay.
So that is not going to create any pressures?
Listen, so long as we are trying to drive inflation down, 13 billion is significant enough to add to our pressures, especially when we're getting revenue shortfalls. You see, the important thing to look at is that if we say we'll pay 13 billion, let's pay it. But let's pay 13 billion to those who are going to pump it back into the economy, not 13 billion to those who are going to take and sit on the money.
Would that not amount to deferring the challenges when we should be confronting them?
We are confronting the challenges. The challenges is that, have you guys forgotten that 2022, we lifted up our arms and said we can't pay our debt? We've just started paying. We are not still able to pay all our debt. We're still drowning in debt. We're still negotiating our way out of debt. We have payments that we've postponed to 2026. Huge payments that are coming up. We have to find the CDs to fund those payments. You see, there is a... unfortunately, there's a certain sense as if we're okay. Life is back to normal. We can go back to our bad old ways. We cannot. We should not. We should have learned from the pain of the last few years. In GBC, Ohia Madrin, Ghanafo, Yanishaye, no, Ohia Yakumun, Wamayan Adrin. Let us not sit in a place where we think everything is okay and we can go back to our ways. Let's stop thinking that in 7 months or so, all of a sudden, every contractor is paid, money is borrowed. We can't do that.
But they deserve to be paid, isn't it?
And there's no... did anybody deserve to take a haircut? I gave my money to the government. A domestic debt exchange program means I gave my money to the government. Yeah. The government committed to give me...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet.
Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
A certain return, the government committed to pay me back at a certain time, spread it for 12 years. Did I deserve that? Did those pension funds outside who gave us money for a fixed return, did they deserve to take haircuts at the size of which they took? That's a pensioner's money over there.
Let me bring in Franklin Kujo on this point that you're making. Franklin, Joe Jackson has made the point. He says that, look, for some of these contractors, maybe they're paid with Government of Ghana bonds. I don't know what your take is on that.
It's actually a brilliant idea. I would even think that, Joe's point, if you expanded it, it's actually trying to tell you, first of all, you do an audit and make sure that those contractors who are owed money on the most economic of routes, well, let's settle them. And then those that are feeder rules, those that were contracted to nowhere because of politics and all of that, please, move to Nigeria, wait more. You understand? You can get the bonds and go into the future. Redeem these bonds into the future. I think the multiplier effect on the economy, if you focused on the most productive of routes, those who are old on those routes, and you give them and you continue, the idea in economics is that the multiplier effect down the line would have made sure that the gains would then obviate, if you like, the needs or basically the balances that are due the other routes that are not necessarily that important to the economy of Ghana. I think this is the way I would want to look at it. If I'm a student of value for money analysis, this is the way I organize the debt. I think it is important that we are not saying we'll not pay, but please, this route, I beg you, is not in the scheme of things for now. Because these routes are leading to necessarily nowhere. Of course, it's conveying people, but are they really economic? That's the way I organize it. And I think Joe is some solid grounds when you make the point. And I think it's also important to add that, look, at the end of the day, nobody is saying that the gains that are being made should not be questioned. In fact, it's important to know that headline recovery is not the same as deep reform, right? And it's important, all these headline figures that we hear about this, I'm running this math, I'm using the term positively here, though. These are not necessarily, they look like quick fixes. We need to be sure that they are deeper roots which will lead to the structural reform that we want. We want to digitize customs so that we start paying properly so that we get the right amount of money to plug some of this loophole. We want to look at the tax refund and make sure that apart from the 2%, there's more the minister can actually garner from there. So that fund was used to, it's like a slush fund, used to pay the like of 10 GVG and all these fictitious projects, right? And so maybe he can do some engineering and look at it. But at the end of the day, all these interventions must be based on what I call the rule-based fiscal policy. If you don't have a rule-based fiscal policy, obviously the likes of the fiscal responsibility council that they want to establish, by the way, Imani is working seriously with our partners to ensure that we establish that thing properly, working the government to ensure that thing is done very well and independent and truly independent, so that no party apparatus are put there and they become the first bulldogs. It's important that we ask ourselves, all these interventions that we are asking the minister to make, pay arrears, do the duties, he has a ledger. He needs to look and ask himself, if I pay everybody, would I satisfy the rule of sensible economic planning? I'm not saying I won't pay, but it will take a little while. So they have to look at the quality of the liability and ask themselves, don't you need to stagger? And I think these persons will agree. Otherwise, you're not going to get anything, really. If you want to get a real contract to somewhere that is really not important, why should you be bothering me to pay you?
Franklin, if you advertise a contract, and I have come to work, I didn't say you know, decide you're going to do this, you have decided as government, and so yes, I deserve my payments, don't I?
Yeah, but I'm not saying I will pay you. I'm only saying that right now the pot of money I have cannot pay everybody, so I'm prioritizing. So you get your money, but you get it in bonds, redeemable at some point in time. And yes, it's not like we're giving a haircut. You just postpone. Maybe it's a little interest. We can do that. You know, I wish we were thinking the same for Unibank when we are negotiating 60-40.
I will get to that one shortly.
Right, okay. But exactly the point I'm making, that negotiate with these people, you're not going to get whatever, you get your money, but at an extended period of time. Let's focus on the quality one. This one, the phone call, and someone, not because I live around there, but it is torturous. It is just inhumane. In fact, the other day, I couldn't even see anything. The whole road was there was a dust bowl, dust storm. You know, have you seen the movie Dune? You see how that's how it was. Couldn't see anything. How on earth do you have an economic road like that? And you're focusing on peripherals. Who does that? Because this 7 million so called your road, sir. Also, you got to check road near Papa Biano, near Famon. What is that? Focus on the one that brings you value. It's a hell driving on that road from near to Kumasi. Why?
Okay. Franklin, hold on 1 minute for me. What I'm learning is that it's actually the plan of the Ministry of Finance is to go by what you've just suggested, Joe Jackson and Franklin Kujo, that for many of some of these roads, they're going to be paid by bonds. And also, going forward, they only go by the amendments to the PFM Act. So, no commencement certificate from the finance minister, no contract.
I think the finance minister has made that.
Yeah, he's made that
comment on countless occasions.
Yes. Let me bring you back in. Frankly, yes, we just want to wrap up so that I get to Joe Jackson.
Oh, yes, we have that. And I just want to conclude on this matter of the budget not making certain claims. It is important to ask questions. As I said, are all these gains we are making, are they going to hold if we are not going to deeply restructure the reform agenda? Which includes some of the things that the minister wants to do with the PFM actions. I hope that he gets to do it, and that no big party apparatus come around and say, oh, this man is not spending, this is, no, we don't want to hear that. We let him get focused. Thank you.
Great. Yes, let me bring you in, Joe Jackson. We'll be wrapping up a conversation on this shortly. So,
Winston, I was just going to draw your attention to the conversation we're having a couple of days ago about the FX and how it is reducing, the debt profile. The tabulation or the calculation we did was that some 100 billion was being knocked off the last time we had the conversation on the debt situation.
Yes.
And so if we're tying that to the point Joe Jackson was making, I was going to ask, that are we saying that economically we don't have the fiscal space now for the finance minister to just go ahead and pay regardless of priority or otherwise? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly that. We don't have the fiscal space to just pay off every contractor, regardless of whether
there's space or not.
There's how much this payment reflects productive work in the economy, right? And some of the arrears are owed for. Not so exciting stuff, right? And we talk about roads, and for example, the if you've been on the road between Accra and Winneba, which I had to do twice in the last 2 weeks, right, it's awful, and that leads us to the central and western part of this country, and even to
Côte d'Ivoire,
right? And it takes you anything between 1.5 hours when it's off-peak to 2.5 hours when it's peak time to navigate just Accra to Winneba.
Yeah.
Barely 40 miles. So there are some serious distortions that are taking place.
But Joe Jackson, I mean, a contractor just sent me this.
I knew that was coming.
He said, please, 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 tell Joe Jackson not to go there.
Don't touch our money.
What inflation? Does he know our debts to the banks, equipment suppliers, salaries and co? Please, some of us have been owed for years. If we go by what he's saying, then no contractor will finish his work until fully paid.
Listen, I also come from a financial institution. The contractors who owe me, I'm hoping to get. I'm not saying this because I enjoy it. I'm not saying this because it is of benefit to me. I'm saying this because that is really what we need to do. And let's be clear, and I say this to all the contractors out there. I'm also a financial institution. I feel your pain. Sometimes your pain is real to me. But we've got to start doing things because it's the right thing. And not doing things because just because it will benefit me. That's the real thing I'm talking about here. Listen, I'm not saying this. Do you know how many contractors have called me because I've been talking about this issue about the arrears? Someone even called me and said, Joe, you better get police protection because I'm coming for you. But it's real. Listen, you see, we are in trouble. We're not even talking about the infrastructure deficit we face as an economy. Now we are just doing patchwork to get us moving. There are estimates that up to 40% of the price we face for food, etc., is just due to the quality of roads. Do you know what could happen to this country if the farm gate to roads from farm gate to market were better? Do you know what will happen to this country if the railways were carrying the cargo that they need to? The explosion in productivity? If you could travel from here to Kumasi in 2.5 hours, which we used to now 4 to 5 hours today, that we are still broke? And that there's no money, and that there are so many things we need to do that we cannot do because we don't have the money, that we have to prioritize, that we're drowning in debt, and we're still drowning in debt. We've only negotiated our way. One of the things we should all learn, including the opposition and everyone, is that we were in a dark place. We are coming out. But we are not out of the woods yet. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But we are not at the end of the tunnel yet. And that the road ahead is still fraught with real pain, economic pain. The road ahead is going to have to continue to take hard decisions. Some of the hard decisions will require us to then make lasting, sustainable changes to the structure of this economy. Otherwise, in a few years, we're going to end back where we were before. We cannot continue this whole business as usual. We take some pain for a year, we quickly jump out. In another 2-3 years, there's an election coming, and everybody is out there partying like it's nobody's business. We are out borrowing like it's nobody's business, and then we go to another cycle again.
Okay, stay with us. I still have Joe Jackson, who's CEO of Dalex Finance, and Franklin Kujo, founder and president of Imani Africa. When we return after these messages, I'll be starting with you, Franklin, on the Attorney General's negotiations with the Unibank shareholders, and what he says is a good, you know, with the Unibank, you know, I mean, the bit about the debt, you know, you'd agree that the appreciation of the Ghana cedi in itself has helped us to reduce, you know, apologies, and I was showing it to you the last time, Blessed, that while, you know, in dollar terms, our debts have gone up a little bit, the Ghana cedi's appreciation has helped reduce our, you know, public debt.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.